The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to Red Leg Nation Radio, the official podcast of redlegnation.com.
Welcome to the latest edition of Red Leg Nation Radio, and today we're looking to the future, and we're really excited to be joined by one of the Reds' top prospects, Jesse Winker. Jesse, thanks a lot for being with us today.
Hey, no problem. Glad I can be with you guys.
Jesse, doing some reading about you, I've read that you have been born in like three different places. One place I read you were born in Buffalo, another place I read you were born in Windermere, and the other place I read you were born in Orlando, Florida. So, I mean, was your mom really like getting around as she was having you, or is that some bad media, or what's the deal here?
All right, so I was born in Niagara Falls, New York. That's upstate New York.
Right.
And I lived there until I was seven, and then I moved down to Orlando. So, I'm a big Buffalo Bills fan and a big Orlando Magic fan. That's, polar opposites. But, those are my squads. And so growing up, I guess you could say I grew up in Orlando, Florida. So, as a kid with Universal and Disney around, I wasn't too bad at all.
Where did the Windermere come from?
Windermere is just a city in Orlando. It's just sometimes I say Orlando, sometimes I just say Windermere. I guess, if you're getting pretty technical, I'll just say Windermere. But it's in East Orlando, I think.
Yeah, baseball reference has you born in Windermere, Florida.
Right, yeah. No, well, I wasn't born in Windermere. I was born in Niagara Falls.
So what brought your parents to Florida other than getting away from the upstate New York weather in the winter?
I think it's more of just that the opportunity in Orlando, Florida. Where I was from, nice area, but there just wasn't much sports wise, and I think my parents saw it as an opportunity to get out, and they really gave up their home for me and my brother. So it was a big move for them, but just the opportunity Florida had to provide. It was really the biggest deal for my parents, and so they got us all up and we moved down here.
How big is your family? I know you had a brother that played minor league baseball. More brothers and sisters?
I just have two older brothers, so I'm the baby of the family.
Oh, you're the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I've read that either your parents or your dad run a hitting warehouse. Is that like a batting cage place or a baseball academy? What exactly is a hitting warehouse?
My dad gives lessons to some local kids that just want to get some extra swings in and put in some work. So we have this big warehouse, and there's like five batting cages in there, and there's a bunch of like different kind of machines. There's like a curveball machine, and then there's an iron mic, and then my dad will throw. And it's just a great place for local kids. I think he's kind of expanding it to a little bit younger now. I think some kids are 10 or 11 all throughout high school. It's just a great spot for them to go in and, get some extra work in.
I read that Dante Bichette had a hand in starting this.
Yeah, it's actually, it's his place. And my dad just kind of runs it now.
Oh, okay.
And, the Bichettes, they're a great family. And, what a blessing to have them in our lives, because they're just great people. And, all of them, they're just an awesome family.
Has he talked to you about the Reds at all?
Last offseason I got to interact with him a lot, just talking minor leagues and, just getting to talk hitting with Mr. Bichette. That was awesome, just learning how he went about his career and the way he handled his business. That's just the cool thing about baseball, is just getting to talk to people past and present, learning how they, did their, routines and stuff. It was awesome.
It's funny, you said you moved to Orlando, the Orlando area, when you were about seven, and that was about when he played. You would have been about the year 2000. That's the year he played for the Reds.
Yeah, it's actually very funny, because my senior year of high school, he would go out. like before my games, he would throw BP to me. Like we had like BP for scouts, so you know him being there, and you know I got to go through my little draft process. You know, with him throwing me BP and you know just kind of helping me out through that. That was pretty cool.
So how old were you when you started playing ball?
I was 3. I was playing baseball ever since, you know, I could probably breathe. I came out of the womb playing the bat ever since. yeah, I've been playing it forever.
Were you always an outfielder?
I actually was always an outfielder. When I was younger, I used to pitch, too. So, you know, my parents let me get up on the mound and throw. But, you know, there wasn't much pitching. It was more just throwing as hard as I could.
Did you play any other sports growing up?
I played football for a year. I played hockey in, obviously, upstate New York. And then when I moved down to Florida, I tried playing hockey for a couple of years, too. But it's just not the same down here.
Yeah. So how old were you when you just started focusing entirely on baseball?
I was probably entirely on baseball. Well, I stopped playing hockey around the age of 13, and then that's the year I played football, 13 or 14. Was the year I played football. So after that, I was like, you know what? After my season of football, I was like, I'm done with this. It was just too much for me. You know, some people loved it. You know, I loved the game, but practice was just too much.
A lot of kids say they want to play pro ball, but how old were you when you realized that you really had the chance to play pro ball?
It was a goal my whole life. You know, not just to play professionally, but you know, to win World Series rings and you know, to one day hopefully be in the Hall of Fame. So ever since I was a little kid, that was my goal. But I really realized, you know, I could chase it like my freshman, sophomore year of high school. This can really happen for me in the next couple of years. And that's when you kind of, you know, that's when I think kids start thinking about what they want to be. You know, that's when they kind of start figuring out, hey, you know, I have a passion for this, but I had the passion my whole life, but I really realized like, hey, this is going to take off for me, like right around the age of like, yeah, freshman, sophomore, so like 15, 16.
You know, you mentioned the Orlando Magic and you mentioned the Buffalo Bills. Who were your baseball teams that you rooted for growing up, and what players did you follow closely?
You know, it's funny because I never really had one true team. I always just watched players, and I would try to, you know, copy what they do. And like when I was a little kid, I'd go buy their jersey. But I was a big, big Derek Jeter fan growing up, like huge Jeter fan. And then as I got older, I just started watching like left-handed power hitters. And, you know, I just left-handed hitters in general, I tried to, like, you know, see what they were doing and copy what they were doing. So, you know, the Reds having two of the best in the league with Bruce and Botto, I'd always watch them. And, you know, I'd watch guys like Josh Hamilton and Robinson Cano. He's another really good one. So I just kind of watched their swings and watched, you know, and try to learn from them as much as I could.
I read that you played baseball at Olympia High School in Orlando, and one of your teammates from high school was also a number one pick, right?
Right, yeah, he was also a first rounder to the Padres.
Right, and what's his name? Walker.
Weichel.
Okay, I didn't know how to pronounce his last name. I didn't want to blow it up. You know, it's pretty amazing to have two number one picks out of the same high school. Is your school a Florida powerhouse?
We definitely were when I was there. To be honest with you, all these schools in this area, there's a lot of high schools in my little area. They're all kind of a powerhouse. There's a lot of talent here, and there's always been, you know, a big-time baseball crop in Central Florida. So, you know, that was kind of cool getting to play against, you know, other really good teams growing up. And there's been a lot of draft picks, you know, from here in the past 5 to 10 years. So it was pretty cool to be a part of that.
I looked it up, and I saw that you faced him twice last year. Do you remember how you did?
I have a really good memory of how I do against a lot of pitchers. But, yeah, I think my final numbers were, I think I was 2 for 5 with a walk, and I think either 2 or 3 RBIs. Was that it?
You were 2 for 4 with a walk. You hit into a double play once and struck out once.
Yep, you're right. The double play was in vain, and the strikeout was at their place. Yeah, but, yep. You know, if I could go 2 for 4 off everybody, I'll take that.
Absolutely right. Now, your brother was playing in the Midwest League last year also, so did you get a chance to see him during the season?
He started the year off on the DL, and he actually got called up, you know, he got called back up to the Midwest League because the year before he was an all-star there, and we just missed him. Like, I think we missed him by a week or two.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, I never got to play against him. But he came to my All-Star, you know, he came to the All-Star game today, so that was fun.
Yeah. We'll talk about Dayton in a little while. You had accepted an offer to play at University of Florida before the Reds drafted you. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. Florida is the school I committed to.
Yeah. Tell us about draft day and the draft day experience for you.
Oh, you know, well, that ties into it being my dream my whole life to go play professionally. Just, you know, you're thinking, I was sitting at my dinner table, you know, my whole family was in town, and, you know, you're thinking, like, you know, what team's it going to be, you know, what spot, you know, this and that. And then what I knew for sure is I just wanted to go play. And so I was like, God, I just can't wait to go play. And when the Reds took me, you know, I just hit the floor, and, you know, I kind of forgot what happened. You know, everyone was just jumping around in excitement. I was just, you know, I was very emotional. I was like, oh, my God, you know, hugging everybody and, you know, just the perfect fit. And I was just so honored that the Reds took me. And it was just, you know, it was just a dream come true.
What other teams had looked at you or had talked to you?
You know, we were in touch with a lot of different teams. I kind of forget, to be honest with you.
Yeah, too many of them,
Not to say, I mean, you know,
no, I know.
You have in-home visits with every team. You know, a lot of teams came to my games and came to my batting practices I had before the game and stuff. So, you know, you were kind of just in touch with a lot of different teams. But you know, what a perfect fit with the Reds. You know, it was just awesome that it happened.
Were you pretty sure the Reds were going to be the team that took you, or was it still up in the air on the day of the draft?
The day of the draft, you know, I really didn't have any idea who was going to take me. And then once, you know, pick 49 came around, I got the phone call, and I was just sitting there waiting. And, you know, once you hear your name called, you know, it's just the best feeling ever.
So once you were picked, and you're picked as a first rounder, and there aren't many first round picks that don't sign, you know. But was there some discussion about whether you'd go to Florida, or was it a foregone conclusion that you were going to play ball right now?
I wanted to start my career absolutely 100%. There was, you know, this is the story. Like, I got drafted on a Monday. I graduated. Like, I walked in graduation on Tuesday. I signed that week, and I flew out Friday.
Wow.
I was ready to go play, and I wanted to, you know, I wanted to get my career started and go experience minor league life and, you know, Start it up.
Okay, I asked this question of all you young guys, and especially the young guys that got drafted pretty high, because I asked Devin Mesoraco the same question I'm going to ask you. What did you buy when you signed?
My senior year of high school is when I actually got my license, and, you know, I was sharing my oldest brother's car with him because he was playing, so I had to drive his little Mazda, but I got myself a new car, a 2013 Camaro, and that's my big. I plan on having it, you know, for the rest of my life. It's just something, that with the hard work I got, and you know, it's pretty cool, pretty nice too, kind of fast.
See, I think you broke a rule though, because I thought the rule was you had to buy a black truck.
Black truck, yeah. I mean, my Camaro is black, for the record. So
okay, so you got it. At least you got part of it right, you know.
Right. I'm there. Just, you know, not much of a truck guy. My dad had a truck my whole life, you know, so I was like, you know, I want something different, so.
Well, and you're a young guy, and a Camaro is a cool car for a young guy, you know.
Absolutely. You know, one day, you know, I hope to keep it around so I can, you know, let my kids have it one day and, you know, just explain to them that, you know, hard work, that's what, you know, helped me get this, so.
Okay. Hey, Jesse, bear with me a second here on this question, because it's going to take me a minute to get to it, okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
I've talked to a lot of minor league guys over the years, and I've had some tell me that guys that are draft high like you were, you've already got it. You've got it made because of the money you got, and you don't have to struggle financially while you're in the minors, and because higher picks they get many more chances to fail. Some of these guys seem to feel like the high picks don't have the pressure to perform that they do, but I see it a different way. I see because they're high picks, they don't have to worry about being cut, but they have to make their bones with everybody else in the organization, and the constant pressure of having to perform with all the eyes on you is a different kind of pressure. Do you feel any kind of pressure with being such a highly drafted guy?
I don't feel any kind of pressure at all. I'm blessed to have a great coaching staff. You know, everyone in the Reds organization is awesome. You know, I'm blessed with great teammates. And, I don't feel any pressure at all. I just, you know, I get to go out and I get to live my dream. I get to play baseball every day. And, you know, I get to worry. The only thing I'm worried about is getting better that day. So, yeah, no pressure at all. And, you know, it's just fun to learn from the coaching staff and to learn, you know, from the older guys that, you know, might be in Double A ahead of me. And, you know, just to hear, you know, take things from everybody. That's all it's about. You know, at the end of the day, I just worry about just myself getting better and, you know, try to get my all around being better.
Great attitude. So you fly out and you get to start your pro career in Billings, Montana.
Right.
Had you done much hitting with wood bats prior to the Pioneer League?
Yeah, absolutely. The whole travel ball circuit now, is basically wood bat. I mean, you swing metal in high school, but the whole travel ball is all wood now. So that was, you know, I was swinging wood probably since I was 13. You know, that was my dad's idea, just to kind of learn how to hit with that, because it is a little different. You know, you have to learn how to hit with wood. So I started at a young age, so. It was like, you know, that's what I saw my whole life, so.
Well, looking at your numbers, it sure doesn't look like you had a whole lot of trouble. You hit .338, and your on-base percentage was .443, and your slugging was .500, and you hit 5 home runs out there. Tell us about playing in Billings, and tell us about the Pioneer League and your first year in pro ball. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about playing for the Billings Mustangs?
The Billings Mustangs. Well, first thing that popped in was, you know, great fan support, and such a fun place too. Very nice ballpark. I think I'm pretty sure it's Beaver Park. And you know, what a great field. And then just the cool bus rides that you got to take, because, you know, that's God country out there. And very, you know, kind of long, but we went to Yellowstone, so I remember that. And, you know, great competition. And it came down to, what I really remember is the season coming down to the last game, even though we lost, but kind of getting that playoff atmosphere and getting involved in that. So that's what I remember. It was just a great, great first year to get started up with.
Do you have a host family in Billings?
I did. Well, I live with a host dad. His name is Mike Mayotte. And he had me and he had a couple other people living in his house. But it was just a very nice setup. And I'm very, very thankful to took me in.
Yeah, I've heard that's a really nice. I haven't been to Billings. I hope to get there sometime. But I've heard that host family program is a very nice program that they put together out there.
Yeah, very, very cool. So, very fun.
So, last year, you get sent to Dayton, which I had season tickets for, you know, partial season tickets for Dayton for years, and it has to be one of the best places to play in the minor leagues, between the crowds and the stadium and the whole organization. It's just, they do everything right up there. Tell us about the experience of playing in Dayton.
Oh, you said it right, but just the first thing you think of is, you know, playing in front of 10,000 people every night, you know, no matter what, too. Like, when it was freezing, they were there. When it was raining, they were there. If it was an early game, they were there. And they just support us the whole year. And, you know, that's just, you know, playing in front of that, that's awesome. And then what a cool field. And just being a part of that, you know, just to get to say you got to play there was an honor. And then on top of that, just the All-Star event was really cool too, and being a part of that. And it was just a very fun year, and I had a host family there too, the Collins, and they were great people. So I lived over in Miamisburg, Ohio, which is, you know, a little small little town, so, you know, just got to meet people over there, and it was just a very fun year.
How does it feel the first time you come out in Dayton and you're working the wall there doing autographs, and you walk, and for people that haven't been to a game in Dayton, the guys on the team come out of the dugout and they work the wall doing autographs from the edge of the dugout all the way out to the bullpen, and it's probably, what, 40, 50 feet maybe?
Yeah, it's pretty far. It gets loaded in there with people too.
Yeah. How does that feel the first time you do that?
Oh, that's the coolest thing ever. You know, when you get to sign stuff, or, you know, the little kids that have your baseball card or have a ball for you, that's just awesome. And then just to have that support of the people, you know, that they just follow you that closely to, you know, have some stuff for you to sign. It's just cool. You know, it's just an honor, really.
You had another really, really good year. You know, you got almost 500 plate appearances in. You hit .281 with a .379 on base, a .463 slugging. Hit 16 homers. You finished the season on a DL. I think you had a high ankle sprain. Everything all right now with the ankle?
Yeah, everything's great at the ankle. You know, just kind of jumped up against the wall and kind of landed on it. And, you know, tough way to end. I wish it would have ended that way because we were, you know, we were really in the playoff hunt with Dayton, too. We were making a strong push. So, you know, it kind of stinks it ended that way. But, you know, everything happens for a reason, I guess.
One of the things I noticed looking at your numbers was that last year, between last year and Billings, you dropped your strikeout percentage by almost 3% last year. Is that something you worked on, or is that something that just happened to come about? Or,
you know, I think it is something I worked on, but I think it's just, you know, seeing the professional pitching just for another extra year, and, like, you know, you look at all the at-bats I had in between those 2 years, between instruct and then that following spring training. You know, you kind of just make your own adjustment, and you kind of learn to, you know, to take certain pitches and, you know, to battle more with two strikes. You know, that you learn what you can do within those months. So, yeah, it was something I worked on, but I just feel like, you know, experiencing the pitching more and more, you kind of just get better yourself, you know?
So at this point, you've got two, you know, a year and a half or almost 2 years under your belts in the minor leagues. Tell us about the best thing that you found about life in the minor leagues so far.
Oh, well, everything really, you know, nothing really to me is wrong with the minor leagues. You know, I love every bit of it. You know, I love the bus rides. I love, you know, eating the peanut butter and jelly, you know, everything's just a blast to me, you know, and I get to play baseball every day. What beats that? And so it's just a lot of fun, and I just enjoy playing the game every day.
What's been the biggest surprise to you about playing pro ball?
Biggest surprise? Biggest surprise? What do you mean by that?
And it's something you weren't expecting, or something that you've had to do as a pro player to keep yourself, you know, to keep yourself ready to play every day, or whatever you weren't ready for that you weren't aware of.
I guess you could say, shoot, that's a tough question.
I gotcha.
Yeah, I didn't think that one would get me. Probably just I had to make, like, an adjustment to the game. You know, there's always an adjustment, I feel, at every level that mm-hmm. you need to make. And, you know, with my short season and then my low A, you know, just the adjustment of, you know, handling the better pitching and then handling the better pitch. I don't think it's much of a surprise. Like, I knew that would happen, but just going through it, just I don't know. I can't really think of the surprise.
Okay, that's fine. Well, that's an answer in itself, you know.
Yeah, I can't really think of a surprise, but I mean, I guess I'll say I don't know.
That's fine. We'll move on. And if you think of something, we'll jump back in. Okay.
Yeah, I kind of feel just, you know, I guess the biggest surprise is not being surprised.
There you go. That's an answer.
I feel prepared every year. You know, I know what I'm going in for, and, you know, I've learned from people, and I ask questions, so I feel like you can't really be surprised if you ask questions.
There you go. What's the biggest thing you think you need to improve right now?
Biggest thing. You know, my defense, I'm trying to take my defense to the next level. Well, just all around games, you know, you can never be too good of a defender, base runner, or hitter. So I'm trying to polish everything there, and I'm just trying to, you know, really keep going in the weight room and stretching and hydrating.
Talking about your defense, you played left field last year, and I'm not sure what all you played at Billings. Was it mostly left?
Yeah, it was mostly left. I mean, I had a couple games in right, but yeah, mostly left in Billings.
And I've read that they're talking about playing you in left and right this year. How strong is your arm?
Personally, I think I have a really good arm. I do have a really good arm. And I like to think I'm very confident in myself, so I'm going to tell you I have a really good arm. It's very accurate, too. I threw some guys out last year. I don't know how many, but I believe I have a really good arm.
Let's see here. You had 9 assists last year.
9. Hey, that's not bad.
2 the year before. Yeah. No, that's not bad at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take 9.
There you go. Actually, this year you're going to take more than 9, right?
Right, absolutely. I should have had 10. I should have had 10, but I overthrew the catcher in Fort Wayne. He should have been out. I mean, he was a sitting duck, and I overthrew the catcher, so I should have had 10.
You airmailed him, huh? So you've already had an interesting lead up to 2014 because you were at Reds Fest and you were part of the Reds Winter Caravan.
Yeah.
Tell us about doing Reds Fest in the caravan.
Oh, just an honor to be invited, and then just meeting all the different fans, you know, because at Reds Fest, and well, actually on the caravan too, there was some tough weather, you know, a lot of snow, and all the fans that came out and supported us, that was really cool. And just, you know, being on, you know, the caravan, being on the bus with Dick Williams and then Cowboy and Tom Browning and Jim Couch, was just, you know, just, and Billy Hamilton, I forgot about Billy. It was just really fun, and, you know, just going to town to town, being on the radio and, you know, doing newspaper interviews, it was just really cool.
Browning's a hoot, isn't he?
He's very funny. He's definitely the man.
We did an interview. He was on Red Leg Nation Radio a couple of years ago. And I asked him about his first game he started for the Reds, and he remembered 7 of the 8 starters, and they weren't your everyday names. I was very impressed with Tom's memory.
Right, yeah, that's awesome. I actually heard a story about him on the Red Caravan where he was sitting on the building in Chicago during the game. Have you ever heard that story?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. It was like people were talking about that story like his perfect game. It was so funny.
The other story about him was that in the 90 World Series, he left the stadium, and they thought they were going to have his wife. I think his wife was having a baby, and they thought they were going to have to call him back.
Really? I didn't know that.
So have you, between the caravan and the Reds Fest, have you met any ball players that you always wanted to meet, or guys that you went home and you told your friends, guess who I got to meet?
Eric Davis was on the caravan. Well, I already met him through just like playing, but he's a very cool guy. But not at the caravan, but like last spring training, I met a lot of the big leaguers. So meeting Bruce and Votto, those were really, really cool guys to meet, and, you know, just to talk in with them. But it's just very cool talking to the big leaguers and learning from them.
You know, there's people that are comparing you to Jay Bruce. What do you think of that?
That's just another honorable thing, you know, to be talking about with Jay Bruce. You look at him, he's winning Silver Sluggers and, you know, playing very, very great defense for the Reds. You know, that's where I want to be. So, it's a true honor.
So, other than Red Fest and the caravan, tell us what your off season's been comprised of.
I've been working out a lot, running a lot, and, hitting and throwing, just, you know, trying to just get my game better and, you know, just spending quality time with my family. And besides that, just enjoying Orlando. You know, I've been to a couple Magic games. I actually went to a Bills-Miami Dolphins game down in Miami. That was pretty cool. That was actually really cool. Bills won on top of that.
Do you take time off after the season's over, or do you hit all year round?
You know, because I was on the DL, I kind of went right into it. I had to take some time off when I got home, but I've been hitting probably since late October. To be honest with you, I've been ready to go since November. I've been chomping at the bit. I can't wait to go. I've been telling everybody, you know, I've been ready to go since November. So I've had to wait an extra couple months. So I've just been hitting every day and throwing every other day. So I'm ready to go.
So, depending on what publication you look at, you're either the number 4 or 5 prospect in the system. But there are two other guys above you are outfielders, you know, Irvin and Hamilton. Does that mean anything to you?
You know, it doesn't mean anything at all. They're both very good players and very great teammates. And, I think what makes everybody different is, you know, everyone has their own game. You know, everyone has to work hard and continue to be better. So, you know, I just look forward to getting back out there with the guys, you know, and just hitting and playing and having fun. And, you know, we all get to play baseball, like I said earlier, you know, we'll be set.
Do you have a goal to be in the big leagues in X number of years or anything like that?
You know, I don't have a set date on where I want to be. I know there's a process. You know, I know the Reds have a plan for me. You know, it's just my job to just worry about myself getting better and just playing hard and having fun and just trying to win, you know, as many championships as I can on the way out through the system.
What about, do you have a place where you hope to start the season or hope to end the season this year?
You know, I really don't know. I'm just excited to go back and, you know, like I said, just, you know, wherever they put me, they'll put me, and I'm just looking forward to going back and, you know, just hitting, you know, playing games, you know, just stuff. Like, I know it's just been 4 months. I really miss, you know, just sliding in the second and making a dive in left field. So I'm just looking forward to going back and just playing hard.
If the Reds follow the plan with you that they followed with most guys, you're probably going to start the season in Bakersfield. Would you probably agree with that?
Right. Yeah. You know, I'd agree. Bakersfield's the next step, and you know, that's high A, and so I look forward to starting wherever they put me.
Well, everybody says that if you can advance at least one level every year, you're on schedule. You know.
Right.
You are aware that if you're playing in Bakersfield, you're going to go through a little culture shock after playing Dayton last year, right?
You know, I've heard, but I've heard, but it's not going to bother me because I've heard some great things about California too being a hitter's league, so I can't complain.
Yeah, there you go. Baseball America rates you as the number four guy in the organization, but you're rated the best power hitter and the best strike zone discipline. Which one of these means more to you?
You know, out of both of those, I'm going to say the plate discipline because there's a lot of very powerful guys in the game of baseball, and I've met a lot. But you know, one thing I try to take my game to the next level by not, you know, not giving in to pitchers' pitches, you know, not giving in because sometimes they, you know, it's like taking good pitches, even though they might be a good strike, but it's not a hittable strike, you know. So I really just enjoy the battle between me and the pitcher. And, you know, I try not to give away one at bat. So I feel like, you know, you're going to walk sometimes. You're going to, you know, you're going to get some hits. You know, you're obviously going to make outs. You know, everyone knows that. But, you know, I feel like you give yourself a better chance, you know, the more disciplined you are. But instead of just, you know, going up there and swinging at everything.
It sounds like you're kind of out of the Joey Votto school.
You know, I watching him hit, you know, that guy, he's unbelievable, you know, Votto. He makes pitchers really come to him, you know, and it's just very cool to see. You know, there's more to hitting than just going up there and free swinging, you know, to what I think, too. So, you know, I believe in a good approach, and, you know, every once in a while you might have to just settle for a single left. So.
Are you a stats guy?
You know, not a big stat guy at all. I just believe in, you know, hitting baseballs hard and eventually they'll fall.
Do you look at your numbers every day?
I do not pay attention to my numbers. You know, I feel like they're going to change too much, too often, to really get caught up with. You know, I play 140 games a year, so they're gonna be up, they're gonna be down. I just try to worry about just getting better that day.
Well, you know, it's just you and me here. Nobody's listening, so I'm going to ask you. You know, do you and you can tell me the truth here. do you set numerical goals for yourself going into a season?
I really don't. I just set, like, personal goals. Like, not really numbers, but I just set, like, you know, kind of different stuff. Like this year I want to continue to get stronger as the year goes on, and I want to be more flexible at the end of the year than I am now. Like, stuff like that. I really don't get caught up with the numbers because I know as long as I do what I need to do every day and, you know, just keep making the improvements I need to make, I know the numbers will be there anyway.
Now, last year you played, you know, about twice as many games. You didn't have quite twice as many plate appearances. How were you feeling in September?
You know, in September, being on the DL, I was still a little tired. You know, my body has never felt that way before. You know, you go through some times where you're like, holy cow, like, you're not 100%. You know, you're 50%. But, you know, I really think to succeed, you got to be able to, you know, when you're not feeling that good, you still got to, you know, buckle down and go find a way to, you know, help your team win. And that's what it's all about, you know, because you're going to have some rough days. You know, that's the honest truth of baseball. So you're going to have some rougher days, you know, feeling, you know, just your body feeling down. So I just feel like, you know, those are the games that you got to really, really bear down and help your, you know, do your best to help your team win.
How much has your family got to see you play in the last couple of years?
My family's gotten to see me a lot, actually. My dad made about two or three trips up to Dayton with my brother. You know, that was this year was the first time my middle brother got to see me play baseball professionally, so that was really cool when he came up to game, and they loved it. My mom was up there like four times, and on top of that, she got to go to opening day. Check this out. She was at opening day, she was at 4th of July, and the All-Star break. She got to see the All-Star game, too. Oh, she made some good trips there.
Yeah, she saw the best of the Dayton Dragons, didn't she?
Right. She definitely got the best of the Dayton Dragons, and she always happened to have really, really good seats, too.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, Jesse, that's about all I have, and I want to thank you for your time and wish you luck this season. And when are you headed out for Goodyear?
I actually leave this Sunday. You know, I'm going out a little earlier. My report date was March 5th, and I'm going out this Sunday. You know, like I told you, I've been ready to go since November, so the earlier I could get out there, I was taking that ticket. So.
Well, maybe we can catch up sometime again later during the season, you know, when you're hitting about 350 and like 10 or 12 homers by the All-Star break.
Hey, that sounds really good. So I look forward to that phone call.
Okay, man. Thanks very much for your time. We'll talk to you soon.
Nope. Hey, sounds great. Have a good one.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.